Dr. Catherine Roma has been an advocate for social justice through musical excellence throughout her long and distinguished career. Her work with choruses in state prisons has been in the news, although she's been doing this for over 20 years. Is that right, Kathy?
Over 25.
So she's here to tell us more, and welcome back to the studio, Kathy.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Now, tell us about the choruses you work with and which prisons they are based in.
Okay, right now, I have my longest-serving choir, the men who have been singing with me the longest, at London Correctional, up the road in London, Ohio. That's Ubuntu Men's Chorus. Some of those men, maybe 6 to 8 of them, have been singing with me since the mid-90s. Then my next choir, that's a men's chorus, and it's in a level 2 at Marion Correctional Institution in Marion, Ohio. And that's Coogee Men's Chorus. And then up the road in Dayton, I have Hope Through Harmony Women's Chorus, and that's a Dayton Correctional.
So did you start this in the 90s?
Well, I started my first choir through Wilmington College, Umoja, at Warren Correctional in 1993.
What obstacles did you face when you were first going into the prison? It's not like you can say it's a great idea to have a chorus in a prison and just walk in.
Well, I think it was quite easy, actually, because when I first started, I was asked to start that choir by the Dean of Correctional Education at Wilmington College. So that was easy. I was part of a program that existed. It was one credit. It was a fine arts credit in a regular academic program. So that was easy. There were people from the college working at the prison. They opened doors for me, or, you know, I wanted to bring somebody in. Oh, here, just sign this and, you know. However, now it is way different because I'm kind of on my own. I go into these prisons and I don't have somebody who says, oh, are you bringing in these people? I have to do everything. That's a great challenge. And the three prisons are very different. All prisons are very different. And it depends on the warden and how open the warden is to programming and things like that.
So what kind of programs have you been doing in each of these different facilities? They vary from place to place, don't they?
They absolutely do. So just to start, last year was totally almost an unexpected year because I got a phone call from two young men from New York who said they heard about that I had these three choirs and would my choirs combine with three other choirs in different states, Kansas and Iowa and Minnesota, to perform in Beethoven's Fidelio to do the prisoner's chorus. And I couldn't have thought of that. But they were amazing young men. They came out. They gave each choir about 16 or 32 measures that they wanted us to sing. It was in German. It had an easy accompaniment. So we practiced and recorded. And then it was all stitched together in New York and performed at Heartbeat Opera's performance of Fidelio. And I was lucky enough to go about a year ago on Mother's Day. I can't even describe it. It was unbelievable.
Well, it was also covered in the New York Times.
Yes, it was. And the New Yorker and the Wall Street Journal and places like that.
So what kind of impact did that have on your continuing work in the prisons?
Well, the choruses loved the German. I had never done German repertoire. I guess I've done Latin and I've done some South African pieces in Zulu and things like that. But I don't think I've ever done anything in German. And the women in Dayton said, we want to sing a chorus. We want to sing a chorus in German. And it was just impactful to the men's choruses, really for everybody. So that was incredible.
Did they actually get to see the performance?
They got to see the 7 minutes or so of the prisoner's chorus with them in it and with the acting. It was sent to us, all of us who were participants, and I did show it to all of them, and I got to send it out to their families, a DVD, which is great.
Do you audition people? It's not a given that they can participate, is it?
Well, you know, my famous thing when I work with the community choirs, I say, you just have to match a pitch. So that's basically what I say to them. And it spreads by word of mouth. I do have certain times of the year when I put up posters in the prison and invite people to come and sing and try and see if they're up to it or up for it. I just want to mention two other things that were programs. Last year, I didn't think that these are the men's prison choirs would do Les Mis, but many of the audience, your audience people may remember John Wright, John Wesley Wright from CCM, a wonderful tenor. He's out on the East Coast now at Salisbury University. And he said, well, why don't you just do sections and excerpts from Les Mis and I'll bring some students to sing Cosette and Javert. And I said, wow, okay, I've never done anything like that, but let's give it a try. So I did it at London because I knew those guys would pick it up really fast. So we did that in June of last year. And then the guys in Marion said, we want to do it too. And I thought, this is my newest choir. They're not up to what, you know, my other guys are that have been singing with me for a long time. They did a fantastic job. And then that choir has been getting so good. They're still not as experienced as my Ubuntu choir, but they're going to do Hamilton. And they're going to do 23 pieces from Hamilton. And it's pretty unbelievable what they're already doing. We just worked on My Shot last week. They already know the first Alexander Hamilton. And we're able to open up to the public to come in November of this year.
Oh, that's going to be exciting. I'd like to go back to 2012 when the World Choir Games were here, because you made a very impassioned plea that the judges of the World Choir Games go out to the prisons to hear the choirs you were directing, and they did.
Yeah, that was also a big life changer for me, and I think for a lot of the men. So in 2012 in the summer, we were working ferociously to learn repertoire, and obviously the judges said, well, you can't get the guys out, so we're going to come. So we competed in two categories, spirituals and gospel, and you can see it online if anybody wants to go online. They look up Umoja Men's Chorus World Choir Games, and you can see it's about a three-minute clip. And so you'll see a little bit of us performing. But the judges from Germany and Holland and Cincinnati's own Dr. Earl Rivers came out and judged, and they were awarded gold. And they were told to their faces, and they told me that they did better than many of the groups on the outside. So that was joyous for me to hear and for them too. So it was the first time these men had just, you know, focused on something so intensely, completed it, and then having done such a good job, were awarded these beautiful certificates. So it was a message of completion, of transformation, of so many wonderful aspects of their being supported.
And that kind of recognition and the kind of hard work that you've discussed and described over the years that you've been conducting and working with these folks, what kind of an impact do you see in terms of transforming people, changing people?
I think it works really to teach listening skills, obviously, but people working together toward a goal and then performing. It's not only just working hard for something, but you perform for your peers, you perform for audience people who are from the outside. And that's what's transformational, that they see themselves as human beings. I think so many of them say they feel like they're treated as state property. And when they feel like they are human, and they are human, I'm a Quaker and believes there's that of God in every human being. And we know that people commit heinous crimes. And we know also that people are in prison who don't belong there. And the prisons are a place where people with mental difficulties and drug problems, health problems are in. And so it's a challenging environment, to say the least. But, you know, I just think that they are able to focus and concentrate and learn to listen and look around them. And invariably, these choirs are made up of people who are not all the same at all. I have a huge variety of different kinds of people in those prison choirs and love different kinds of music that are different ages, that are different races, different ethnicities, different backgrounds. And they all come together working on this very unique thing, which is a beautiful musical piece. So I think it's transformational for them, and it's transformational for the people who come in to see and experience these choirs. And I recommend to everybody, if you can, to just get into a prison, do some kind of work. There's a wonderful organization just starting now in Ohio called OPAC, Ohio Prison Arts Connection. And you can go online. There's a website. We're just starting it, and Donna Collins, the executive director of the OAC, the Ohio Arts Council, is part and parcel of that organization, because she says the Ohio Arts Council supports arts for every single person who lives in Ohio, including people in prisons. So right now, it's a group of us that do volunteer work.
You mentioned people who are wrongly incarcerated. Cincinnati Opera is doing a world premiere, Blind Injustice, this summer, and you said that some people from Cincinnati Opera came out to hear one of your choruses. Now, are they going to participate in Blind Injustice in any way?
What we're working toward is that some of the people who are the soloists are going to be able to come out to the three different prison choirs that I do. Now, the goal would be to have the choirs learn at least one piece. that they would sing with the soloist. But it was neat when I met Mark Godsey, who wrote the book, and he's from Cincinnati, and he's a defense attorney for the Ohio Innocence Project. And so I went up to him when I saw a short part of the program in December, and I went up to him and introduced myself, and he said, "Oh, yes, I know Eddie Robertson." And so his case has been taken on by the Ohio Innocence Project. So there's somebody right there in the choir whose case has been taken on by the Ohio Innocence Project, who the person who wrote the book knows and has communicated with and has met. So the goal is to get some of the people who are performers out to those prisons, and probably a pianist, an accompanist, that's what I heard, and also to get Mark Godsey there. And I've already started bringing books out. I have two books circulating in all the prisons so that people can read Blind Injustice.
Well, in conclusion, Kathy, I've been thinking a lot about a statement that was made by Dostoevsky. And he said, you can get the sense of a nation's civility or its sense of humanity by looking inside the prisons, see what kind of condition the prisons are in. How do you respond to that? What's your take on that?
Wow, I totally agree with it. These are our institutions, and they need our love. They need our awareness. Everyone needs to know what's going on in our name. And there are innocent people in there, and there are people who have health problems that are in there. And right now it's a catch-all for so many, and we're trying to reduce the population in Ohio, but we haven't done a very good job. So I'm hopeful that there are lots of methods and lots of things we can do in our communities to prevent the horrific situation, in my opinion, about the situation in our prisons in Ohio. And it's very important. And obviously, people now are hearing more and more about mass incarceration and what happens to people and what kinds of problems emanate from that. And you don't want to create an institution where people are getting worse, you know, where people are learning about crime, you know, and not rehabilitating. So it's the arts, and I want to emphasize, it's the arts that have so much of a role to play besides education in general and getting education back into Pell Grants and educational programs back into prisons. Because 90% of the people are going to get out. They're going to be your neighbor. They're going to be my neighbor. And we want them to be really positive people contributing to our wonderful city and our great state.
Well, Kathy, thank you so much for helping to bring that about and the work you do to promote healing with all the singing that you do, with all the direction you do. My guest has been Dr. Catherine Roma, who directs choirs in state prisons, as well as many other choirs, the World House Choir in Yellow Springs, and the Martin Luther King Chorale, and so much more. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Arenstein.
Thank you, Ann.